21st, June 16th, August 18th, October 20th, and December 1st at 1 and 6 p.m. This is WRS is co-hosted by Mike Falkowski, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mike Falkowski, along with Carl Bryan and Gary Kunick for WGTD 91.1 HD. And this show is Education Matters. Thank you for all the listeners who have joined us this morning. It is my pleasure to introduce our two guests this morning. Carl Bryan is a former two-term member, sorry about that, Carl, of the Kenosha Unified School District, who currently resides and does policy work in Madison. Also with me is Gary Kunick, who is a former two-term school board member for the Kenosha Unified School Board and a former journalist for the Kenosha News and is currently working for the Milwaukee VA. And just to add in, I was also a one-term school board member a few years ago. Today's discussion will be about what it's like to be a member of a school board. Our listing area covers a large area, especially geographically wise, covers, you know, Walworth County, Racine, and even into Lake County. I'm going to give a little background of the Kenosha Unified. All three of us were school board members on the Kenosha Unified Board, and just to help our listeners understand, like, the size of the district and where it's located. So Kenosha Unified is Wisconsin's third largest district. It covers approximately a third of Kenosha County, really from the interstate east to Lake Michigan, and then from the state line to Racine County. Inside the school district, we have most of the city of Kenosha, most of the village of Pleasant Prairie. People wonder why, what motivates people to run for the school boards? I hope you give us a few sentences about motivated you to run for the Kenosha Unified School, because it's a big commitment.
It is a really big commitment, Mike. And I think, like everybody else, you get this one or two key things that really just either makes you mad about the current board or makes you mad about something else or makes you mad about the district. And it just fires you up to say, okay, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to save the world and do great things. I think it's probably, you know, I remember interviewing Carl Bryan when I was at the Kenosha News, and he wasn't happy with things that were going on in school. And I admire that. I'm sure I've told you that before, Carl, but I admire the heck out of you for that. I know you'll both disagree with my point on this, but for me personally, I felt the board at the time had done something illegally with the teachers union contract. And foolishly, I thought, I was the education reporter at the Kenosha News. This is going to be easy. And you get in there and you find it's not easy. You know, you find out things are a lot harder than it looks. And so, I mean, that's why I came in for it. Now I will say the board and the action that they took there, and that's what caused me to run. I have absolute utmost respect for Carl. I have utmost respect for you, Mike. Because you didn't just complain, you put skin in the game. You got in there and you showed up every night. And to me, I think that was my takeaway, is that, you know, despite these differences we had, I think we got along fairly good, I thought.
How about you, Carl? Or thank you, Gary. How about you, Carl? Why did you decide to run for the school board?
Sure. And I think Gary's definitely onto something when it comes to, you know, finding that one issue that, you know, kind of lights the fire under you to make you want to run, whether it's, you know, something that the school board did or, you know, something going on in a school, you know, like your kid's school or the school you attend that, you know, just really irritates you and motivates you. And because you come from a certain kind of background, you think you offer that fresh alternative to, you know, what's going on. And in my position, it began when I was in high school. I was a junior at Bradford, and at the time the school board was exploring the change to the dress code policy for students over concerns of security and things like that. And of course, you know, without, it was not without rumors that the school brought up in Iron Maiden and Judas Priest t-shirts that was not willing to take that, you know. I was like, you know, I was going to tell the school board, you got another thing coming, but
wait, you get Judas Priest joke there, that's good.
Yeah. And you know, just showing up to the school board meetings and speaking on not only that issue but other issues that were facing the students, like high school overcrowding at the time was a really big issue between the two comprehensive high schools at the time. This was prior to the ITA expansion, that being a big thing among other issues. I think that was just kind of the thing that had, I'd always been interested in politics prior to that, and was always interested in getting engaged and involved in some way. And I felt like this was my opportunity to give back and offer a student perspective. And being turning 18 years old in my very first election kind of uniquely positioned me to be that change candidate, I suppose. And of course, I was a freshman in college. And those of us have been around long enough to remember the CDO investment that, was the topic of the news a lot, no small part thanks to Gary.
Glad to help. All right.
Right. I think it was kind of an opportunity where I could say that, you know, this was not something that I would argue was a fiscally responsible move. We were looking at the prospect of a lawsuit because of fraudulent investments, you know, and the potential that millions and millions of dollars could be lost. Of course, you know, the issues that had motivated me.
Right. Thanks, Carl. I too was on the board and I had my reasons for running. And really what I came down to, at the time I was considering running, we had the transformation plan in Kenosha Unified, which was a big change, a lot of different things going on, but it wasn't well communicated. As a parent, I didn't feel it was well communicated. And also there were just big budget cuts from Madison, from the state government a few years earlier, and the district was still trying to deal with that. You know, having been a board member, now I understand how difficult, Carl, for you and the rest of the board members that had to have been to try to manage all that. You know, your money, your funding is shrinking, you're making changes, people are upset. I can see how it got out of control really fast, no matter how well you tried to message that. But that was really my main motive, you know, personal, right? I had three kids in the school district at the time, like, or two and one about to enter. Like, what is going on here, you know? And I was going to get on the board and tell the rest of you how it was done and hold the superintendent accountable and make sure that we had accountability and the money was spent where it was supposed to be spent, because I knew nothing about funding and how money actually came into the district, into your budget, all your different pots. So, yeah, you just get passionate, fired up, and then my connection to Carl is over. I don't know if you remember this, Carl, but at the Sunnyside Club, you actually talked to me in the running. You know, we had probably a beer together and we were chatting, and that was along with the other parents who gave me the push. But yeah, it was an experience, not what I was expecting. I kind of was on Gary's side with the how hard can it be? You just go out there, you knock on some doors, you hand out some lit, right? You collect some money. It's right. Really that easy, right? No, it's not. There's a lot of work that goes into a campaign.
Yeah, so just the campaigning itself was a grind. I mean, I thought that, you know, and this was arrogant. I acknowledge it. I mean, it was like, well, I'm the education reporter at the Kenosha News. People know me. Of course I'm going to get elected. And, you know, and it's nothing like that. I mean, and, you know, like knocking on those doors and going outside in January and February and talking to people, and it was exhausting. You know, you'd get to the end of that and you're just like, I need a deep breath here. I think you hit on something also there, is that you said, I'm sorry, I cut you off, Carl, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, what was funny was that, you know, when I was running in 2000 and, well, eight, the year that I lost, the first year that I ran, I was talking to some other candidates and talking to some sitting school board members and, you know, kind of getting their ideas on what a school board campaign was like and how they were typically run. And I come to find out as I'm going on, you know, through this process, that I was kind of one of the first campaigners to break the mold where, like, I was kind of doing the grassroots thing. I mean, prior to that, it was really just putting yard. Look at what kind of monster I created.
Yes, you did. Well, that's okay.
And that's hard, though. That's the thing. And I don't think people realize that. I think, you know, it's, man, you've got to, you're communicating, you're talking to people, you're trying to bridge that divide, you're trying to talk to Democrats and Republicans, left and right, and you're trying to, you know, it's not that you're trying to straddle a line, you're trying to, like, hey, look, I can, I see what you're saying here, I see what you're saying here. And Mike, to your point that you didn't think the transformation plan was communicated, I think that's key. And I said that to a few people. I said, you know, if you're not communicating, then it's blown. And I felt that way when, and the big thing, I hope we talk about it, are board comments and comments from the community. You can't cut that stuff out. I don't care if you don't like the people who are getting to the, coming to the podium and saying bad things about you. I don't care if you disagree with someone, you got to have that communication. And I think had that communication existed, you wouldn't have felt like you had to run.
That could have been a whole different path in my life instead of going through this.
You're doing all right. You got a radio show. I'm impressed.
There's life after the school board, isn't there? But Gary, to your point on public comments, I absolutely agree. I'm disappointed that the current board, you know, decided not to allow board members to comment, because I think you do need that give and take. If I go up and speak in front of an elected board, I'd like to hear your feedback. Did anyone hear me? Anyone understand what I was saying? Anybody hate what I was saying? Great. I just want a reaction. I just want to know that either you agree with me or you disagree with me. You're going to do something or you're not going to do something. It takes a lot of courage for, we don't, you know, sometimes as elected officials, we don't think of how much courage it takes for a citizen to get up on a microphone and talk to people they think is all powerful. I know we don't view ourselves, we were on the board, like, we're not, but other people view us as like these really powerful figures. And it's nerve wracking. I remember before I was on the board, you know, being nervous, getting up there just to talk in front of that board. And I think it, you want to show them the respect of providing them some feedback if they take the time to come and talk to you.
I agree. 100%. Right. We're going to heal the world here.
We are. It's always like a good thing for people to understand, like, you go on the board with some ideas, and then sometimes you find out how it really is and why things are the way they are. But I'd be interested in any comments you have about that.
Sure, yeah. You know, I think it goes without saying that, you know, whenever you run for school board, I would say most well-run campaigns usually begin with, like, a platform, you know, something that, you know, they would run on, whether it's like fiscal responsibility or security in the schools or, you know, increasing accountability and academic achievement and stuff like that. And those were all, you know, those are all the boilerplate, you know, things that you might see on a piece of literature. And I think at some point I probably printed those words myself, but you find out really quickly that being a school board member, you're one of seven. And it's not, you're not going to be able to just go in and change everything and do everything you want to overnight, because you have six other people that you're working with, and not only six other people, but, you know, the administration along with the superintendent, and then you have a community that you're responsible to as well. Those are all things that, you know, I've learned through the course of this, and, you know, it's, you don't have the answers to everything. There is a whole world out there as far as in terms of education that, you know, you learn about, whether it's school finance or things having to do with the curriculum, you know, building and listen and as much as possible. Going in there with preconceived notions about how things need to be done is usually never the best way to approach being a school board member. And most of all, being humble too. Like that is the big thing. you know, in teens, early 20s, doing this kind of thing, there was this expectation placed upon me that, like, you know, this guy's going to be on the school board forever, and he's going to run for higher office, and he's going to be the next, you know, Russ Feingold or something like that. You know, not trying to give away my political opinions or anything like that, but. you know, it created a lot of pressure, but you know, really, when it gets right down to it, it's not about political aspirations. It's not about, you know, what kind of identity I can carve out for myself. At the end of the day, it's really about serving the kids and serving the community and doing what's best for the kids in the schools. And so I think at the end of the day, when we're talking about goals, I mean, just to be able to say that I was a student voice and was responsive to student needs and was expressing the willingness to engage students as much as possible, that was one of the biggest things for me. And, you know, in some ways we were able to increase that, you know, little by little over time. Like, for example, the students were already allowed it, you know, they had like a student ambassador at school board meetings, but we expanded that to include them on the standing committees as well. I think it went from one to two. And everything else that we could do to engage students of part in the lawsuit, the litigation against, you know, that I've been able to accomplish having been there and stuff like that. So
that's quite a lot, Carl. This is Mike Fulkuski. Sorry, Gary, I had to do this, our little announcement here. This is Mike Fulkuski, and you are listening to WGTD 91.1 HD, Education Matters, and we are here with Carl Bryan and Gary Koenig. All right, Gary, you may proceed. Thank you.
Thanks. No. And Carl, good. You did a great job getting that student voice heard. You really did.
Thank you.
You opened my eyes to a lot of things. I think two things I promised that I delivered on, I'd like to think I delivered on, and one was a swing and a miss. One, at the time, you know, there was a lot of stubborn people on the school board when I ran, on both sides, and a lot of fighting and a lot of arguing and, you know, he said, she said stuff. And I felt like things weren't getting done. And I stopped being disagreeable. And it doesn't mean that we were going to agree 100% of the time. It didn't mean we were going to like everybody's decision 100% of the time. But I think we owe it to the community to be civil toward one another and to get along and to show that, you know, we are listening. It's more about that than our individual egos and attitudes. So I was happy with that. I thought we needed some, to Carl's word, the fiscal responsibility that goes on everybody's campaign literature. Everybody says it. I think we did that. And we made people realize that, look, it doesn't matter what you want or what I want. This is the pie. This is the money, okay? And we just, who helped deliver on that, and I think helped us remain more solvent than Racine Unified has in some cases. I think being civil and getting along with each other, that was an important part of that as well. One thing that during the campaign I kept saying I wanted to do and it didn't happen, I would have loved to have seen a creative and performing arts middle school and high school, whether it's a charter school. I know Bradford has the theater program. I would have loved to have seen that to fruition. And I may have brought it up with you guys in passing from time to time. I know I brought it up with other board members, other administrators. And it was always, no, there's no money for that. And I don't know, school system in Kenosha with the charter school options and that we have there. That would have been really cool, I think. I would have loved to have seen it happen. And I just don't think I pushed it hard enough to see. I don't know. I mean, do you guys think something like that could have happened?
Gary, I think that was a very, very hard thing to have happen. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but you have to get more than obviously just yourself. You have to get a community behind that. The charter schools, I was in Kenosha in the 90s before I've been heard, is that those charter schools are built by communities, people coming to the school district and saying, we want to create this school and bringing a plan and a charter and having a lot of backing from the community. And you had to have a board that would be open to it. I'm not saying the board wouldn't be, but, you know, you have to have a board that's willing to take a chance like that, because that is kind of a chance to create what you would call a non-traditional school.
I think on the flip side, though, Mike, there were things that I didn't anticipate coming into the school district that was really great. You know, just getting the sports referendum passed and helping. And really, I mean, we say we, the board, got it passed. We know the administrators did a Herculean effort getting it across the finish line, but to help them to do that, to promote that, to show how important that is. I think, you know, because if we can interest a kid to stay in school because we've got a state-of-the-art football field here, and that person ends up staying in school and then goes on to college or whatever. That's what I think is, hey, we've done our job. Then. Yep. So never would have anticipated that coming on, and I love that. So I was happy for that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Gary. And when I ran and I got on the board, similar to Gary, one of my planks on my platform, I guess, was to get along, to listen, to really. And I think as a board, Gary, you and I served 3 years together. Yeah, 3 years together. All 3 years. I had to think about that. But, we had our moments, usually not in public, but, we had our moments where we had severe disagreements. But what I was glad about is that we could always be civil. If you had to, we could shake each other's hand at the end of the night and say, sorry, exactly. I got a little emotional about that, but
and
we could acknowledge
that. You had a right and an obligation to represent the politics and the people and the sides that you were representing, just like other people have their right to be represented as well. And I think, and you're right. I do like that. I treasure that, those friendships and those relationships with that. I really do. I mean, there are things that you and I'll disagree with you all day long. And
oh, sure. Percent,
but, I do think the three of us together worked really hard at bringing some civility to that board. We could pat each other on the back, but I think that's something to be proud of. And I hope the future boards can emulate what we did.
Yeah. And then the other thing,
I think there's something to that point about, having an obligation to serve sides and to represent sides and things like that. I think, when you have a community that in many ways, because of the budget cuts that Kenosha Unified was facing at the time and stuff coming down from the state, and then of course the transformation plan and how that was handled, you quickly had a community that was very much like a left versus right situation. And it was very easy for a lot of us to get involved in that schism there. And, really at the end of the day, I think, to Gary's point, we all had to do what we had to do because, we were there to serve the kids.
But I can't hear and I can't hear. And, so I think, when you can at least come together on those areas like that a little bit, that's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Right. I think the interesting about the school board or both selected boards is 97% of the time, it's unanimous. There's not much, and everything works. But there are those key issues. No matter what you do, a part of that community is going to hate you, and a part of that community is going to love you. You just have to have a thick skin and realize you're going to about to get a bunch of arrows launched at you after that meeting from people who did not like the decision that you made. And that's just, it's just part of, unfortunately, part of politics. I think in all elected boards. So
that's why Carl can run. I'm done. You represent it or whatever, man.
One day at a time.
That's right. You got to take this one day at a time. All right. Gary, I think not a disagreement, but kind of a difference of opinion that people have is the role of school board members. I think the three of us have some different opinions. This would be a good discussion. Like, how did you view yourself as your role, as a school board member? What action should you be taking? How do you work with administration? And I'm not trying to lead you too far down this. I'm hoping you understand what I'm saying.
No, I do. And I think I changed my mind a little bit because I work in journalism. I work in public relations for a living. And when I first came on the board, Carl and I were talking, we wanted to bring back the public relations committee. We talked about that and had some ideas. And then just, really getting to know the administrators in a different way. I came to the realization that I changed my mind on that. I didn't want to do that. I felt like, if I come in here and I start telling you how to do PR or running PR, I didn't want it to be misconstrued. I realized, wait a second, I wasn't hired. And I think I kind of grew my philosophy out of that we were there to govern, not manage, and that's so hard, I think, for listeners to understand, for other school board people. It's the only person we supervised is the superintendent, and you have to delegate and then have faith that superintendent is going to do what he or she is supposed to do. And if that superintendent doesn't do it, then we can come in and do something. And I've seen someone I've supported for election on the board in the back room talk about how he wanted the superintendent to start doing certain things during her presentation, during the school board meeting. And other people around the table start agreeing with this person. And it came to me and I said, no, that's not our job to tell her what to do. She has those 3 minutes of protected time to give her super. And I felt like, you know, that I'm not abdicating our responsibility. I want to, that's her. We've delegated this to her. We've hired this person to do the job. I didn't want to get into that position of having to tell her that. But as you know, that's difficult because we want to come in there and we want to try, you know, it's creating pollen. It looks, at least it was for me. I found many things in the school board. People don't realize how hard it is when you're trying to straddle that line and do things. I think it was, there were some difficulties, but that's my philosophy. I mean, Carl, I don't know if yours is different or how you feel on that, or you, Mike.
Yeah, let me just interject again. This is Mike Falkowski, and you are listening to WGTD 91.1 HD, Education Matters, and I'm here with Carl Bryant and Gary Kunick. Go ahead, Carl, if you have any, your own thoughts on this.
I kind of struggled with this question a little bit because I thought of many different situations where I was kind of fulfilling all of those roles at once. And I don't want to go out there to be that person, but I think there's definitely a balance. Representative kind of democracy, you know, the body, you know, votes for people to, you know, to represent them, to make decisions for them, because, you know, we can't all be good at everything. So we entrust leaders to do some work for us and use their informed discretion to make decisions on behalf of the community. And I think that's definitely a part of it. But at the same time, you know, sometimes when you run for a school board, you know, you have to rely on coalitions and groups of people to elect you. And sometimes you have an obligation to serve certain groups and represent certain groups. And you obviously have people of which that, you know, you share, you know, their viewpoint. I think all of us can agree that, you know, we do this because we believe that we're doing what's best for kids. You know, we can all agree that we have the kids in mind and things like that, but sometimes there's a difference of opinion on how to get there. And no matter how nasty it can get, you know, at the end of the day, it has to be the government. There's numerous examples, I think, where I could, you know, fulfill any of those particular roles at any given time. But I think really the biggest thing at the end of the day, and I think if there's anything my 6 years on the board has taught me, is that, you know, you have to be the one to look at yourself in the mirror. I was okay living with that. And, you know, ultimately the answer, you know, was yes, but there were some times when that was kind of called into question. I think that's the biggest part of all of it, that, you know, anybody interested in running for school board or thinking about running for school board has to come to grips with, because it isn't just about them and being, you know, this agent for change like they think they're going to be, but there's a whole community behind them, and there's a lot of pressure that rides with that. So
I agree. Right. You're absolutely day to day tasks, because that was one thing where I did disagree with some of the administrators, because, you know, people would come to us with problems or issues, and we'd make a phone call and the answer would be, well, have them call this number. And I would say, no, they called us. They came right to us for the answer. That's our job now to do that, because they saw us as the de facto leader of that district. So, excuse me, I had my vaccine. That's not COVID.
Don't worry, I wore my mask to work and I still got a cold, so I mean it happens, you know. Yeah, you know, Gary, I'll meet you halfway. I do agree that the board's job is to govern and to let the superintendent manage, but And I know you'll agree with this as well, but it's up to the board to provide good governance. And that's where I kind of struggled. And that, to me, like one of the things he did, this really, I'm not going to take credit for, because this was done by the time I got on the board, but having that mission statement and that vision and putting that out there, you know, with the superintendent, here's what we expect. This is how we see the school district. That gave Dr. Sue a lot of great direction. The part in the board that I struggled with was how to get the community input, because I totally agreed when we're at the board and we're talking the policy in its final phases, and then as board members we're picking apart. If I was an administrator, I would be upset too. I spent a lot of hard work on that, and now at the last minute curriculum, and that actually was becoming less and less as I was on the board, and that was something that was frustrating me. I understood, but you know, I just wanted to see the community, because we, as board members, we don't have all the answers, and I did rely on other people I knew in the community just to help me puzzle through things, even like, you know, with the finances or about curriculum. I always had, as you guys probably did, your go-to people that you could have conversations with and get a clear understanding of.
So, you know what, that one thing that Kenosha does extremely well that I don't think a lot of school districts, at least in the area, do, is that they offer those orientations for people that are interested in running for school board. And I remember, you know, the first couple of times when I ran in 2008 and then again in 2009, they had a Saturday morning where school board candidates, of course, that had already completed their paperwork, as well as those that were potentially in future cycles interested in running, for people to learn about their board and about Kenosha Unified. But it was also a way for prospective school board candidates in other school districts. Like, I remember some of those county school board candidates were even attending these trainings. And I think there was something, you know, whoever that was that conceived that idea, it was definitely valuable, because I think that was definitely a good 30,000 foot view into, you know, how, what being a school board member is all about.
No, I agree. That's, you know, you bring up a good point. I mean, you need that community input, and I valued that community input. One thing that would frustrate is, but we spend weeks and weeks and weeks and months arguing over a minute thing and trying to make sure everyone's voice is heard, and then no one walks away happy. And I don't know if there's a solution to that, but it just seemed to me some people would show up not because they wanted to give an opinion. I think there is a small cadre of people who just like to come to school board meetings to complain, and they love it. And that's why I go back to saying to people like you, Mike, and you, Carl, you know, you put skin in the game. You know, I put skin in the game, and yeah. You know, we're not any special. None of us are special, but we ran. And I would like to tell some of those people, thank you. Run for election. Run. I don't care if you lose, you know, get in here and do this, because it's a lot harder when you're there and you have to show up and you have to do it, as opposed to just, you know, complaining about what we were doing.
Right. That's a good point.
It is. That's a good, great point.
Drop the mic. Okay. That's my, that and board comments. I'm raring to go.
All right. So we are nearing the end of our time here, so I'm going to ask you guys to be quick, but I want to give you guys a chance to, you know, spend a minute or so, like, what was your biggest accomplishment, achievement on the board? And I'll start with you, Carl, then we'll do Gary. Just like, there's got to be something you're proud of. We all have something we can point to and say, like, I was glad that I was there that got accomplished.
I'd like to point to one of the things that I was excited that I was able to help see through when I was a school board member, was domestic partner benefits for civil unions. Okay. This was, of course, before the time that, you know, marriage equality become kind of the law of the land. And it was kind of uncharted territory because, you know, we had yet to find out, you know, how many employees were actually in domestic partnerships and civil unions and things like that. Because that was done through the county and not through the school district. And I don't think that was a huge impact to the budget from what I remember correctly, but, you know, being a member of the LGBT community myself, I was very proud to say that that was something I was able to do for people in the school district. So
that's a good accomplishment. How about you, Gary? I'm sorry to rush you guys along, but the time is running.
You know, there again, like Carl said, there are so many. I think at the end of the day, we hired a phenomenally outstanding superintendent. I will tell anyone, I believe Sue Savaglio Jarvis is one of the best in the nation. And we can say that because we were in those back rooms where we were looking at the resumes and we were looking, you know, we had the selection board and those people bringing and people don't understand, you know, you do a superintendent search and half of them are superintendents who got fired from another district or they quit or they were under investigation or something. And you have a very small pool. And Sue, I mean, she's a taskmaster. She sets the bar high. I know she expects a lot of her administration that falls under her. She's very dedicated to communicating and talking to people. And she's a superwoman. She works 80 hours a week, if not more. And, you know, she's dedicated and she truly cares about doing the right thing and being that she's seen in the community. She's seen in those who grew up in this community. And I think of all those things, you know, you throw a pebble into a pond, the reverberations, you know, we're long gone off the board. She's still here. And I think as long as she is at the helm, we're going to have a strong district. And I hope she stays until retirement. I know different boards might make that more challenging for her, but I think the world of her. And I think the world of those administrators there who work a tremendous amount of hours that we can't even fathom. So.